All right, good afternoon, everyone. Can you all hear me? I can formally declare this meeting of the Inner West Local Planning Panel open. In doing so, on behalf of the Council, I acknowledge the Gadigal and Wangal people of the Eora Nation, on whose country we are meeting today, their elders, past and present. Next are declarations of interest, and there are none, and there is a potential declaration of interest in relation to one matter when we'll come to it. It's appropriate that we introduce ourselves. I'm David Lloyd. I'm a lawyer. I am a QC. I'm a former judge of the Land and Environment Court. I'm a former acting judge of the Supreme Court, and I'm presently a professor of law at Western Sydney University. Ms. Tuohill.
My name is Annalise Tuohill. I'm a former commissioner of the Land and Environment Court, and I'm currently a member of a number of local and state panels.
Marilyn Taylor, planning lawyer and member of a number of these local panels.
Kath Roach from Sync Solutions, my company. I do a lot of work across local councils in New South Wales in a variety of fields. On this particular panel, I'm here as a community representative.
All right, with that, we can proceed straight to the first of the items on the agenda. Item number one is 23 Coleridge Street, Leichhardt. I can advise that the panel inspected the site of this development earlier in the day, as we did with each of the other applications, and we are familiar with what is proposed. We also inspected the aspect from number 10, Coleridge Street, Leichhardt. Is Mr. Young here? Mr. Chris Young? Would you like to come forward, please? Please take a seat, and you'll have to turn on the mic, or you won't be recorded. For the record, just press the button on the face.
Okay,
and the light comes on. For the record, your name and address, please.
Yes, I'm Christopher Young. My residence is at number 10 Coleridge Street, Leichhardt.
All right. The protocol that governs these meetings is that members of the public may address the panel for up to 3 minutes. You have 3 minutes starting now.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, thank you very much for letting us address the panel, and my wife and myself really appreciate it. Your list of our concerns about 23 Coleridge Street's application. Just very briefly then, the application when originally was DA approved, we found the plan seemed to get all the things that the applicant wanted, and more importantly for us, took into consideration our views and aspects, and we were very happy with it, and we didn't put an objection in. However, the applicants re-applied for section 96, and we objected to that on the grounds that it doesn't take into our views into its consideration. Quickly, I looked at section 96, I'm certainly not a lawyer, but it seemed to me that it was there as a great provision to help out builders, developers in small issues that don't make sense, engineering, whatever. And in our opinion, it's been used for another reason, which is again further floor space ratio. So very, very briefly, we really feel that originally it was a great plan. Now we don't think it's a great plan because the applicant basically gains views and floor space that we currently enjoy. And if it gets approved, we'll lose those, and that's really all there is to it. So we're not sure on the technical details of the section. I mean, I believe it's called something else nowadays. They've changed that provision. But we thought we'd certainly like to say we've enjoyed this vista for a long, long time, and we do feel it's just a step too far using that section of the, which I, from what I could see, it really wasn't designed to do what it's currently doing, which is just getting floor space ratio, from what I could see. So thank you very much. Is that 3 minutes? Hope so.
You've done well.
Is it right? Oh, I've had a note. I would have worked it out.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is that okay if I leave? I do have to attend a friend of mine who's in the hospital, so I've got to transport him back home.
That's fine.
Well, thank you very much again. Thank you.
Yep. All right, I'll just ask the panel some questions. Does the panel agree with the recommendation?
Is the applicant talking?
Oh, the applicant.
Yeah.
Well, do we need to hear the applicant if we're going to
explain?
Yeah.
They might well object to conditions or something.
All right. Mr. Justin Lowe, is he here? No. He is here. Would you like to come forward, please? I understand that you're the architect.
Yes.
Have you seen the recommendation in the assessment report? Are you happy with the conditions that are proposed?
Yes,
can you just turn the button on when you speak to
you? You have to turn on the mic.
Sorry, yes, I am.
Are you happy with the conditions that have been proposed?
Yes, I'm happy with the conditions.
Any questions from the panel?
Just a couple of questions. Yeah. Do you want to go first?
So just in relation to the attic roof, the area then there, previously in the original approval, that was not, there was no access to that, is that correct? It was just roof space?
Yes, the existing roof of the terrace, which I'm, the existing terrace, yes it was.
And now it's proposed to have stairs that go up there and to have, it to be used as a sort of study area, is that?
That's correct.
Okay. And in terms of the concerns about view loss that have been expressed by the neighbour across the road, did you do any assessment of the potential view loss? Or?
Yes, we did. We actually, after the objection, tried to have a look at it from a, I guess, like a Google map perspective, because it's quite descriptive in the details. And when we drew our sight lines, we came to the conclusion that there was some sort of obscure, there's a large tree there that does obscure the view. We then also, at that time, did approach council as to whether or not we needed to actually access that property to actually physically see it. But it seems quite, I think, from the photos that was taken by council, that that view is obscured quite significantly, and that's by that vegetation. I think the other view that he might have is towards the front of the terrace house, which clearly the attic's at the rear. So.
All right, thank you.
All right, we have no further questions. Thank you very much. That is the decision which I propose. It is an approval. In particular, we note, at least I note, that the assessment reports that the impact on the view from number 10 is relatively negligible. They affect the view to a single tree and not the skyline, and the impact is acceptable and reasonable. What is the panel's view?
All those in favour say aye. Do you want to just say all those in favour say aye?
Well, if it's unanimous, we don't need to vote.
I think we should anyway.
I agree with the decision of the panel.
I agree with the recommendation.
Yeah, I agree with the recommendation.
All right, so that is the determination of the panel. That is, the panel supports the findings contained in the assessment report and endorses the reasons for approval contained in that report. That brings us to item two. Item two is the proposal to modify an existing development consent for licensed premises at 244 to 246 Marrickville Road, Marrickville. The application is to continue extended trading hours, delete a condition requiring a security guard and allow entertainment. Is Mr. Jank here, please?
Yes.
Please come forward. We do have your written submission.
Indeed.
Would you like to speak to that?
Pardon?
Would you like to speak to that?
Yeah.
Yeah, proceed.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. I'd like to address condition 40 first. There have been no noise complaints related to the use of amplified music at the premises, as defined by the existing acoustic report. In the face of intense police scrutiny, we need clear DA conditions to negotiate this important relationship. The term entertainment is vague, open to interpretation, and therefore a potential source of conflict. The assessment report itself is a perfect example of how this lack of definition is problematic. Council depict the very use of amplified music to be entertainment. I quote the report. It was considered that there should be no entertainment in the form of amplified music on any part of the outdoor area. Not only is amplified music itself depicted as entertainment, but in referring to the outdoor area, Council are recommending we cease the previously approved and acoustically tested use of amplified music in our enclosed courtyard. We do not wish to become a place of public entertainment. We do not wish to expand our existing sound equipment, nor the noise levels created by the venue. The existing acoustic report defines an acceptable noise level for the neighbourhood and thus should remain. Proposed condition 69 should be struck as it is irrelevant. Condition 40 should simply read that no live music is to be provided within the premises. On condition 30, Inner West Council lacks adequate planning instruments to advise on decisions regarding security at licensed venues. We operate in a policy vacuum where random collisions between council, police and applicants are leading to arbitrary security conditions across the LGA. There are wine bars in Marrickville with security Thursday to Saturday, while in Summerhill and Dulwich Hill, the same venues have none. Our bar requires security two nights a week, yet there's a neighbouring venue in Marrickville sharing our licence exactly, which has operated without security or incident for 7 years. Had I not argued our case at this very planning panel previously, our venue would have had two security guards on Friday and Saturday nights. Even police would agree, having made 15 inspections over the course of a year, that this is entirely unreasonable. Security guard conditions are driven by the opinions of police, who in some cases feel justified in misrepresenting aspects of licensed premises in order to pursue their agenda of harm minimisation. However, with little time or inclination to understand the nuances of the industry, police may not be providing council with the best perspective. Public safety is the primary concern for us as operators. It is vital to the survival of small businesses like ours. Be it from a moral or even financial perspective, it is in our best interests to do the right thing. The assumption that we would take risks in regards to public safety is false. I cannot ignore my experience in exactly the sort of venue we're talking about today. I'm the owner of four small businesses in this industry, one of which is Arcadia Liquors in Redfern. It is a bar located in a B2 local centre. It has been run on a general bar licence for 8 years without security or incident. It has a similar capacity and I dare say it's in Redfern. Luck has not kept violence away. Security guards play a negligible role in venue safety overall. Safe venues are not made by planting a guard on the door. They are made up of every facet of the venue, from decor to lighting, the attitude of owners and staff, the way the business conducts itself in a community. The presence or lack thereof of established socially destructive elements such as poker machines, TAB and late night takeaway sales cannot be overlooked and yet routinely are in preference for a same brush mentality. No amount of security will quell the frustrations of someone who's lost their paycheck on the pokies, and no amount of Pinot Noir is going to turn a patron in a wine bar into the sort of violent spectre that police expect. I'm not here to take risks, nor am I against employing security as a tool when appropriate. I'm only asking for the right to determine best management practice as part of a comprehensive strategy of running a socially positive venue. As an experienced owner-operator, I am undoubtedly the best person to understand the needs of the business, including how to keep the community safe. Being able to make real-time decisions and adjustments to aspects of small business, including security, is about survival, progress and success, and the granting of trial periods in this regard is a fair and equitable approach. Thank you.
Does any panel member have any questions? I have a question.
Please.
If I may. How many people are the premises licensed?
150.
150. Thank you.
Just in relation to the acoustics, as I understand it, the main concern is about the outdoor area and amplified music occurring in that area. And the previous acoustic report, or the original acoustic report, had a requirement that the roof be closed at 10 p.m. Yeah. And then, as I understand, the original condition 40, if you look at the council officer's report on page 70, it said that a condition was, as I understand, council wasn't satisfied with that acoustic report in relation to noise emanating from that outdoor area. And so a condition was put on saying there to be no entertainment in that outside area, no live music, no amplified music.
And around the venue. There's just no live music.
That's venue-wide. No live music or entertainment is to be...
Yeah. All right, but...
Provided.
In terms of the principal area of concern, it's the outdoor area because...
Well, I beg to differ that it's an outdoor area.
All right, well, what would you like to call the area?
It's an enclosed atrium courtyard. Like it certainly doesn't...
It has, as I understand it, a roof that opens, mm-hmm. and there are sides to that roof that are open that have no enclosure. But just getting to the... I'm trying to just understand what's happened. That originally there was a condition that was put on that said no live music and no entertainment. And there was also a requirement about the submission of a supplementary acoustic report.
This is the recommendation that we're currently discussing, yes?
Well,
that's not the original DA.
It's saying it's noted that the original assessment of the proposal imposed a condition requiring that no live music or entertainment be provided on the premises, condition 40, and required the submission of a supplementary acoustic report to the acoustic assessment. The acoustic report submitted as part of the satisfaction of condition 60 was repaired on that basis. So there was a supplementary acoustic report that was done or not?
No, we were simply required to submit an acoustic report prior and then after the DA was approved, but not related to live music entertainment.
So what was that second?
But there is currently, condition 69 states that we need to have three separate acoustic report measurements of acoustic report nature at random times during public entertainment, and that at no stage are we allowed to use amplified music in the outdoor area, which we have always been approved to do so. I don't understand where that condition has come from. I'm quite frankly flabbergasted.
But there just so I understand, there was a second acoustic report that was submitted, was
correct,
there?
Yeah.
And that was what, just testing the
that
noise levels? And
with our speaker. The first acoustic report is done prior to you even starting to build your venue. The second acoustic report is done in order to determine what the noise production of your venue is, and then that was satisfied, and you get a construction an occupation certificate, and off you go. Now, for some reason, we have been trading for a year with amplified music throughout the venue, and we've just tried to clarify a term that clearly, you know, we have very deep concerns about the level of police, I guess, interest in our venue, and I cannot understand why. And entertainment is a very vague term. So I think, a condition of a DA needs to be very clear.
Through you, Mr. Chair. Can I just clarify with the council staff? I was of the understanding there was one acoustic report, which was the February 2018 one. Can I confirm if there is another acoustic report?
Through the Chair, on page 87, condition 67.1 required a further acoustic assessment to be done. On the 14th of December in 2018, they did do an assessment which confirmed the noise. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And what did it say? It confirmed
the mitigation measures in relation to the front door closing, and then the open louvered roof was closed as well at 10 o'clock. Yeah, would be acceptable
for the purposes. In meeting the noise criteria.
Correct. Correct.
And that's in the evening, after 10 o'clock, or we don't know.
As to the intricacies of it, I'll take that on notice. But there was one done, mm-hmm. and it confirmed that the mitigation measures would be acceptable for the purposes of the activities.
Okay. My sole point is that stands as a reasonable noise transference from our venue to the community, and we do not plan to make any changes whatsoever to our equipment, and we certainly are bound by that acoustic report. Why we would first and foremost not be allowed to play what we currently do, music in the rear atrium, I do not understand, and why we would need to go through the excessive nature of another acoustic report on something that we can't even test.
I think what we have to do is as Ms. Ratz says, we weren't aware of the second acoustic report. We've only had advice on the first acoustic
Understood.
Report. We need to look at that second acoustic report.
That is the acoustic report that sets the reasonable sound level.
Okay.
Any other questions? Thank you. Thank you very much.
May I address the panel briefly on condition 69? Condition 69 appears to just be a misguided understanding of what it is that we're trying to do. We're saying we're going to be bound by the original acoustic report. Public entertainment is mentioned in that clause, which is not something that we're looking to provide. It says during, you know, three instances of public performance, I believe is the wording. So it clearly reveals that council have some concerns other than what we have submitted. That's all I'll say.
Well, what we are going to do is just stand this matter down. We need to really digest this acoustic report and compare it with what you currently have. So what we're going to do is deal with the next three matters, take a short adjournment, and then come back.
Sure.
That means you've got to wait, unfortunately.
That's okay.
All right, so we'll stand that matter down for the moment.
Understood.
And move on to the next matter, which is item three.
Will we? Are we going to address the condition 30? Or will that...
Condition 30 talks about the security guard.
Correct.
I think, Mr. Chair, we can carry that to that same time frame. We'll get through the next couple of items and we'll do them all together because it'll make it more consistent for you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
All right, so we can now move on to item three. This is the proposed development at number one, Athol Street, Leichhardt. It involves renovations to an existing dwelling, use of the ground floor as an office, and alterations and additions to an existing warehouse and conversion to a dwelling. I'm sorry, Mr. Roberts is here, I think. Is Mr.
Roberts?
Oh, hi. Look, the panel is of the view that this development is perfectly acceptable and is prepared to approve it. Unless, of course, you want to persuade us to an opposite view.
No, I'm here to answer questions.
All right, any questions, panel?
No, not really.
So in relation to the conditions, you have no comments on the conditions. Okay, thank you.
All right, well, the panel's decision is unanimous. It is to adopt the recommendation as in the assessment report, which I think is somewhere here. It is to allow a variation to the floor space ratio, being an existing warehouse. It's pretty hard not to, and to grant consent to the development application. The decision is unanimous. And in doing so, the panel supports the findings contained in the assessment report and endorses the reasons for approval contained in that report. Thank you for coming. So we can now move to item number four. This is the development at 18 Ferdinand Street, Birch Grove. I think we have someone here, Mr. Stevens, the planner. You're involved with that matter.
Ray Stevens, architect for the owner of the property.
Just a moment. Item four. Panel is, I think, okay. The panel will hear from you.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. First of all, I'd like to thank the planners for a good report and even more so revamping of the standard conditions, which is wonderful and well received. Condition number three, the general condition in regard to the drawing schedule, I don't know if this has been inserted as a placeholder, but the schedule of drawings there is from another project, not the submitted drawings. Now that might be just been put in as a placeholder and during the DA they'll insert the correct drawings. But they don't relate to the project. This is condition three, general conditions.
What do you want to do with the condition three?
Well, the schedule of drawings, it's from another project, another DA.
Oh.
So you don't want those ones?
So I don't want those listed.
I don't know, the DA could be better.
That's fine.
So we can make a condition.
Well, it
that
might
the,
be for a new house, I don't know.
Sorry, we can make a condition such that a recommendation that the correct plans be included under condition three for the council staff to take on board.
Yeah. Condition number nine that relates to changing the form of the dormer window. I note the heritage referral talks about changing it to a traditional dormer. Now, what you would have seen on site is it's a contemporary infill dwelling, and resorting to a traditional dormer, I don't believe is appropriate. The curved headed dormer was put in as a sort of counterpoint to the round ocular window. It seems to me that the council's heritage officer is expressing a personal opinion and his dislike for round things. I've seen this before. I think it's totally appropriate. There are precedents for curved and round dormers. They're not as frequent as pitch dormers or flat roof dormers, but that is a condition we would like to have removed. Condition number 11 relates to adjoining tree protection at 28 Rose Street. That's an adjoining property. I don't see how we can protect trees on an adjoining property. I don't think we can walk on there and put protection around the trees on somebody else's property. So I'm not sure of the legality of that one, that a condition can be imposed on work on adjoining properties. That's condition 11.
Well, we'll just ask the council.
If I can take that on notice just for a second, Chair, I'll get back to you in a sec. Generally, it's applied that you protect trees on neighbouring properties in relation to just separation or any construction methods that need to be enforced to ensure the tree isn't affected by the proposal.
Without knowing the tree or knowing the location of the tree, it's even if it's located on an adjoining property, it'll have roots that potentially go into your property. It may have branches that go over your property. So it's just to ensure that the work that you're doing on your property doesn't result in that tree dying or having its health affected.
I understand and appreciate that, but when the certifier says you had to put tree protection around the tree, it seems to be somewhat ambiguous. So maybe...
Sorry. The problem then comes with interpretation by the certifier. I tend to use counsel because they're sensible, but there is the issue of if an expectation is that there is tree protection put around the tree, then that becomes problematic because it's on somebody else's property.
Just to you only if they don't allow you to go onto the site.
Could that be added? I don't know.
Well, I think it goes without saying that if they don't allow you onto the site, you can't do it. And that would be the excuse you would give to a certifier.
Okay. I'm happy with that. The next condition is condition 17, and it directs that stormwater downpipes will be concealed and made not visible. I have a real problem with this in principle, particularly on heritage buildings. I mean, effectively, council's asking for downpipes to be built into the wall. That is bad heritage practice. It's bad building practice, to be honest. It would also mean that cast iron stack work would have to be pushed into a building. In this case, we're dealing with a contemporary building. But again, the certifier would say, well, you haven't recessed your downpipes into the wall. And I contend that that is just bad building practice. And what's wrong with seeing downpipes on a building like we have for hundreds of years?
If the words including stormwater downpipes was withdrawn from that condition 17, would that be satisfactory to you?
Yes, that would.
I understand that council would agree to that. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's fine. We'll just bring up some wording so we can just get that correct.
So 17 stays as it is with the deletion of the words including stormwater pipes. Stormwater downpipes. Deleted.
Yes. Good.
council tells me that's the story, Mr. Chair.
Other than that, we're very happy with the recommendation and the rest of the conditions. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much.
Through you, to the planning staff, in relation to the dormer window, there's a control C3.4 in the DCP that talks about dormer windows. Can you just explain to us what the controls are in relation to dormer windows?
Generally, if there are dormer windows, it's in relation to if there are dormer windows on other properties, then if someone wants a dormer window, then there's the ability to have one, if you like, on the front there. In terms of the proportions and things like that, generally it's a traditional form in terms of the streetscape in particular, as opposed to the rear where there's a bit more flexibility. In this instance, the pursuit is to maintain a traditional form as opposed to what would be considered to be a non-traditional form.
So the concept of a traditional form is articulated in the DCP?
I'll get back to you exactly the wording of it, but generally that's the approach here.
So what's your decision?
If it's consistent with what the DCP requires, then okay. I think it should be consistent with what the DCP requires.
Somebody said that's what the DCP requires.
I said if that's what it does.
Be consistent with the DCP.
Well, he's given a reason why not. You know, there is a similar window at the rear, so he's been consistent with what's on his modern building.
Unless it's there enough. Is that what it says there particularly? Is that what it says there?
Well, that's what we just asked, is what the DCP says, if it's consistent with what the DCP requires.
What else is in the street?
I mean, the front and the back.
No, I'm doing this is front and back, but if there's other ones along the street, it's the same as his, then it's true. But if that's the street facing.
Yeah.
That's what I'm just trying to work out.
This is the sort of window, like it's not like it's contemporary. It's like the sort of window that you would have seen on a very grand building.
No, I'm just. I was just trying to work. Yeah, that's right. That was what I was just looking at.
But why don't we just vote on it like this?
Through the chair. Just in relation to the DCP under 3.4, I'll read the objectives in relation to that. Development for the new or existing dormer windows to roofs. A, are consistent with the construction period and architectural style of the building. B, maintain the unity of rows, semi-pairs and groups of dwellings. And C, make a positive contribution to the streetscape. They're the objectives. In relation to controls, they detail more the specifics of exactly the circumstances, if you like. The position is, in a heritage context, it should have that traditional form, if you like, as opposed to maybe a more contemporary style. Mm-hmm.
That can stay. I'll change the
Okay.
It
stays.
It's also
you don't agree.
No, can I ask a question of Council's planner? Is it true
that there is a window of this new design already on the property, so it would be consistent with the design of the new building? Is it at the rear?
The rear does have a curved, the rear addition. So on
is that that?
On the northwest elevation, which is the rear, there is a curved dormer, larger, granted. And then in relation to the addition, if you onto the southeast elevation, if you like the second floor where the addition's going, that has a smaller, narrower dormer, and that's similarly curved.
If I may, if I could just point your attention to the front elevation with the round ocular window that is a contemporary window in a contemporary elevation facing the street, which council has approved. We just seek to follow a similar counterpoint of having a round dormer to match and go with the language of the round window that's already there.
Oh,
it's below the balcony.
Oh, I don't go along with that.
I reckon they should be deleted as well.
No, that doesn't interest me.
All right. We're spending enough time.
You're staying with it?
Yeah, okay.
All right. I can announce the decision. Panel is. The panel is prepared to support the recommendation to approve this development as contained in the assessment report, including variation of the floor space ratio. We are prepared to retain condition 9A1, that is the round-headed termination of the front dormer is to be deleted. That is not unanimous. That is by a majority of 3-1.
That we keep it. That we retain it.
Yes. We are prepared in condition 17 to delete the words including stormwater downpipes. And condition three has to be amended to reflect the correct drawings. They are the amendments to the conditions that the council adopts. Yep, correct. Wall plumbing and duct work, other than stormwater downpipes. We'll make it very clear. After all plumbing and duct work, after the words all plumbing and duct work,
it's just a deletion.
Other than stormwater downpipes. Okay.
In condition three?
We've got that. All right. Panel, agreed?
Yes.
Agreed?
Agreed to that.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your attendance. Next is 194 Short Street. This is the provision of a roof terrace and associated access onto an existing dwelling. The recommendation in this case is for refusal. Under those circumstances, it's appropriate that we hear from the applicant or from the owner first. Sharon O'Grady. Is Sharon O'Grady here? Is the owner here? You're the owner. You're the owner of the subject property. Please come forward. I see. Lisa Federo and...
Giuseppe, or known as Joe Scateri, is my name, and we're from 194 Short Street, Birchgrove.
And you are the applicant in this matter?
We are the applicant and
we're
the owners.
Both the applicants?
Yep.
I can tell you that we went there to the site earlier today. The only issue with which we are concerned is the external impact of your proposal. So we visited the adjoining properties and properties at the back to assess the external impact of the proposal. You have seen the recommendation for refusal.
Yes.
Would you like to speak to that?
Yes, I would. I need to turn it back on again.
I'll just interrupt you. Annalise, isn't there something you want to say in this?
Just for the record, the architect for this proposal, Steve Kennedy, he's on a planning panel that I'm also a member of. However, I don't have a close personal or professional relation with the architect that would preclude me from deliberating on this matter. Just for the public.
Okay, look, thank you for declaring that. We haven't invited Steve to come along today. We thought we'd represent ourselves, and thank you for the opportunity of so doing. Yes, we were a little bit concerned this morning that the panel visited with our neighbours but did not visit with us. We're not quite sure, given that we lodged a request for a visitation, why that was the case, and have some concerns about the process as a result that follows. In terms of the application itself, we'd just like to make the point that roof terraces in this location make good planning sense. There are plenty of precedents, including our three neighbours to the immediate south, all of which have roof terraces, two of which on the same level as our property and one of which on a level below. Application itself is moderated. We spent a lot of time working with our architect and consulting with our neighbours. I don't believe it's a greedy application. It covers a relatively small portion of the building envelope, somewhat less than 25%, and quite a small and less than half the roof, much less than half the roof. So it's not a greedy application. It only results in an area of less than 30 square metres that's a usable outdoor entertaining space, which is the intended purpose. We certainly want to enjoy the benefits of that we have. You know, we have a great vista in front of us. We have no other outdoor entertaining space that accesses that vista of any reasonable size. And if the members of the panel had been able to visit with our house, we would have shown you exactly what we have and what we don't have and why it makes sense for us to have a rooftop balcony. Balcony is located in the area that has the least impacts. If I could draw the members' attention to drawing 4A, where it shows, I think I've got a copy here, it shows how the positioning of the access to the rooftop has been designed. So we have at least 6 metres clearance from the properties adjacent to us on either side to protect them and their privacy, and it also is minimal in terms of the impact that it has on the neighbours to the rear. We understand that there would be some impact, but we also believe that, but we believe in sharing the benefits of the locations that we live in, and we feel that that's what we're trying to do. To that end, we made our intentions to apply for this rooftop terrace clear to all our neighbours. We invited our neighbours into our house for afternoon tea or drinks to discuss with them the proposal. We visited with a number of the neighbours with the architect to hear their concerns and to modify the original proposal to the one you have before you that takes account of their concerns, including, you know, using glass balustrading, which was one of the issues raised by one of the rear neighbours to protect light access through the actual visibility through the construction. As I said, it is a minimalist design, and it has been done in consultation with the neighbours. And we also want to make the point that as the assessment report spends quite a bit of time dealing with the history of this particular property, that history has nothing to do with us. Obviously, there were issues when this property was originally redeveloped and the current construction was built. The neighbours, I think, are all the same neighbours as when that happened, so there's a lot of residual emotion, I think, associated with decisions that were made back then. Those decisions are nothing to do with us. We only bought the property 3 or so years ago, and we're just coming on to 4, and we've lived there about 3.5, just over years. So what we're looking to do is to simply have an amenity and enjoy our space in the same way that our immediate neighbours to the south are able to do, and many other neighbours further down Short Street also have rooftop terraces. And finally, we point out that when we bought our property, the rear yard was a mess. It was full of bamboos and other hedges, and the views that are the subject of the council's report were in fact non-existent. Those views were blocked out by bamboo, by some trees, by some hedges. We removed all that. We have a 6-year-old daughter and we wanted to use the rear area, which again we would have been able to show you if you'd visited our property. We wanted to be able to use the rear area so that she could enjoy it. We now have a small cubby house there and a trampoline for her, and cleared all that space. So the subject views, in fact, that are being discussed did not exist. They were views of shrubs that were and bamboo that was planted in the location. So That's why we wanted to represent our application here today. And again, I reiterate that we're not seeking to do anything that's greedy. We are simply seeking to do something that our neighbours already enjoy.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
As I said, the panel's real concern was the external impact of this development. There is also a problem, a real problem, a legal problem, in that the proposed development exceeds the floor space ratio under the local environmental plan, and we don't have a formal application to allow an exception to that development standard, which presents a legal hurdle for us in approving this development.
Apologies, Mr. Chairman, I can't hear you sitting back there. Would you mind repeating that?
I'll repeat what I just said.
Yeah, please.
This application will exceed the prescribed floor space ratio under the local environmental plan. And we do not have the power to allow that variation in the absence of a formal written objection to allow the exception to that development standard. That's a legal requirement. And in the absence of that, we do not have the power to grant consent to this application. That's point one. Point two, we have the earlier decision of the Land and Environment Court in 2006, which required the ridge height to be lowered to allow this development to proceed in order to preserve views from neighbouring properties. If we approve this development, that would be inconsistent with that decision of the Land and Environment Court. That's the second problem. The third problem that you have is that, having viewed what you propose from the adjoining properties, it seems to us that the impacts are unacceptable. Significant views will be lost to all of the adjoining properties. So we are at present inclined to refuse the application for those three fundamental reasons. We have a number of people who wish to speak, neighbours, and I'll ask the neighbours this question. Is there anyone here who would like us to change our mind? Do any of you wish to be heard under those circumstances? Well, there we go. So I don't think there's anything more you can say. Thank you.
I don't understand the basis for the decision. But you're right, there's nothing more I can say.
No. So if the neighbouring objectors do not wish to add to what I have said, then the decision of the panel will be to refuse the application on the recommended grounds of refusal, together with an additional ground of refusal.
It wasn't in the Land Environment Court. There's nothing in the judgment, as far as we know.
Well, then I won't mention that.
Yeah, we haven't had confirmation that there's anything in the judgment. They hadn't even found it.
All right, well, I won't mention that. So the grounds of refusal are set out in the recommendation. But if any of you wish to speak, then we'll be happy to hear from you. But that's our determination. All right? Okay. Well, that brings us to the end of item 5. We have to return to item 2, and for that purpose we'll take a short adjournment and then deal with the remaining matters.